Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
As long as Sunday, July 16th, 2000, about 5 p.m. on board Cleveland to New York City, Greyhound bus. Currently traveling on Interstate 80 East, somewhere in the Pennsylvania Mountains. This is Voice Journal, volume 33. Okay, back on June 8th. Yeah, June 8th. Back in June 8th, I began a series of poems, which I intended to number 36 in all, and I've written 35 of them. And I want to read them into this machine. First thing I'm going to do is test the volume levels. I'm talking at this level. Okay, that volume is good. This series doesn't have a title yet, and I'm not sure if it's going to go beyond 36, but currently it's at 35. 1. Something, not yet word, nor yet shine, yet beyond shadow, no longer blue fancy. Blue fancy, dusk, roadside treetops. I don't know, a game this cosmos, time and play, something from somewhere, wreckage of a dream, not yet word, nor yet shine, no longer blue fancy. Two. World not revolving, no world undulating, the flow of energy into out of creation, time a mischief floating nowhere, everywhere, time spun by fear, evaporated by laughter, time the bluest note in eternity's starshine, time thinned of power is bliss, happiness without limits. 3. Universe, we do not know thee most times. Universe, we mistake thine glimmer for thine truth. Universe, art thee grasped somewhat, listening to heartbeat, falling through water. Universe, we rise and reduce thy depths to our tears, our stories, our loves, our deaths, our beliefs. Universe, we mistake our identities for our truth. Universe, we are things, we are animals, we are spirits. We pray while deaf, we are someone from somewhere. Who are we? 4. Holy night, reverence to thee in wakefulness and restlessness. Observe what emerges, what disappears. Kindly night, the brighter hours led into diminishing existence, a felt distance but silence, silent. Night dancing, nocturnal ecstasy, pouring and burning and crying and arriving into dreams, the door, dreams, the open door. Night raging, heard wild, grieving, unsure, lost, clues everywhere, even fancies roar with godly might. Night, the blank paradise, still dotted with glimmers of resistance, filling, emptying, everywhere a prophet, a scripture. A chunk explaining the beginning, hurling tandem with one explaining the end. While night roars, there is no difference. Five. Anxious, irritated, closer to the source. Fire explains only fire. Love reveals nothing. Trees provoke patience. Kindness seems more important. There is always movement. Nothing changes. Memory of a tin shack in the woods. Memories mean nothing. 6. Remove I from the mulling, the equation. Yes, simply efface Narcissus and regard how all glows. Clarity. Love explains nothing. Hunger is about hunger. Nothing yet has been abandoned here. Everything remains at stake. Seven. Listen to the obscure tongues of the world and beyond. Listen, many musics begin to tally to meanings among words, secret hustles and romances, collisions fanatics heed and often misread. What is the light deferring to? Listen for the quieter and yet quieter still governors of change. Continuance. For the many musics beyond sweetness and flail. Listen for what is listening to you, how it watches you clenching tighter while trying to let go, how it laid a teaching grid so long ago, how this grid awaits you. Stop seeking. Listen. 8. Without sinking to fall, and know nothing once more, happily, till shiny is funny, loud shudders one curiously, till maybe the clouds are passing, or is it really the earth? New, old, attitudes slick and soiled, or baby's gold. The fires are small throughout the city tonight, many of them, silly, dull, but something else too. Something furious with its own existence. How to live. How to live. How to live and why. 9. Things clearer in context, but perhaps better alone. Suffering given a how and why glows lower and pathetically. Yon street corner cannot be explained. A taxi for every direction, most empty and sad. 4 a.m. and all is lost. 4 a.m. has no how nor why. 10. Vincent van Gogh, The Bedroom, 1889, oil and canvas. Things twist, fall, curve, tricks. There is too much meaning, then there is none. Doors and windows do not help when the floor is giving way. Doubt, mangy truths alone are left. The mirror is blank. Mirrors are always the first to relinquish hold. Best to lie abed. Whistle at the collapsing windows. Brush through the door hungry and laughing. Best perhaps to crawl into one of the paintings on the wall. Watch from the other side the collapse imminent. Best to stay still and hope what was back there now growls with all the danger of riled air. The last of us will be gone a long time before it is generally known. 11. Silence kills. Silence heals. Language is captive music, visible flakes of cosmic mystery. Absent the eye, all seems possible again. Empty poppy fields, poppy fields absent of the human eye. Wintry glowing wheat stacks, the obscure allowed some chance again. Even when the corpsey man plays the blue guitar, something, something. More air, more wild music, the kind no eye has ever been able to hear. 12. Claude Monet, Stack of Wheat, 1890-91, oil on canvas. Six windows, each with a communication, a lesson, a yop, so it seems. Stack of wheat in a snowy field, lightless gray sky, trees and farmhouses in the distance. The field is covered in pink and blue and white brush strokes. The wheat stack is assembled thusly only to be taken apart again. This is one of its several moments. This is the bit of time, the place it gets, and did it. And did it mind posing for Monet's brush a century ago? And could it mind, thus think, would it be impressed with how long its residua has lasted beyond farmer, cows, painter? 13. Claude Monet's Stack of Wheat, Snow Effect, Overcast Day, 1890-91, Oil on Canvas. Could it reason? Could it dream? Did it remember? Could it hope? What of the many overcast days it knew? The snowy silences in rural France. Did it brood? Doubt? Give it a name. Call it reality. Yes, good. This suits. Reality is alone. In the cold. Reality is snowed upon. Reality is assembled without consent. Reality will be gone and on. Will be food, or maybe just rot. There are other wheat stacks helpless in this field, too. They share similar stories. They give each other comfort with presence alone. Covered in the same snow. The same gray sky above. The same unknowable fate, perhaps. Or is there more to it? Claude Monet's Stack of Wheat, Thaw, Sunset, 1890-91, Oil on Canvas. Reality during the thaw, reality at sunset, oil on canvas. Every living thing can nearly be reduced to a formula, nearly. Reality alone in this dreaming. The farmhouses, the trees in the distance, even fellow haystacks. Reality alone in dreaming, thawing, sunset. No remembrance, nor regret. No expectation, no words of any kind. The breeze is warmer and kind. Reality floats, nearly evaporates. A shadowy blotch in a vague pulsating landscape. Oil on canvas, 1890-91. Releases temptation for all creatures. Final cessation to suffering and music. Claude Monet's Stacks of Wheat, Sunset Snow Effect, 1890-91, Oil on Canvas. What if the music burns too hard, and the suffering becomes cosmic? What if the worst that can happen was being created at all, and one fine wheat stack, golden dust, the wind and the shadows and the ton-heavy colors all cried gift? Reality drifts and swirls and wishes to follow. Reality calls for more colors, wilder music, the beginnings of a new freedom. Reality does not think in cycles and Maya, but to reinvent the world you must begin everywhere and nowhere. 16. Claude Monet, Stacks of Wheat, End of Day, Autumn, 1890-91, Oil on Canvas. Without sinking to fall and know nothing once more, happily there is attraction among all things. There is will to creation, will to annihilation. There is beauty in the young and in the decrepit, in that which shines and that which lies in a ruin behind a gate and a sign and a padlock. The truth of reality is no truth, only a continuous becoming of all that exists through a cycle briefly visible. Sunsets in autumn, the many wiggles of one's body, then sleep, then dust, then the truth, perhaps answers, plain, even blank. 17. Claude Monet, Stacks of Wheat, End of Summer, 1890-91, Oil on Canvas. Morning, or perhaps coming night, the end, or perhaps we still do not know a thing. Poor reality, debased with understanding, all is Maya, perhaps. Shadows dim more of the colors, mute more of the music, until one discovers that seeing and hearing, learning, knowing, the ecstasy of a dance, the sullenness of old wounds, are all kin. All that is kin. The farmer, the hungry cows, Monet, oil, canvas, all flows, all matters, nothing is lost, nothing is unimportant, all feeds all, the emptiness felt by embodied creation, yes, a valid assessment, pain, woe, the wildness of pulsing creation, the lesson each can teach each, all can teach all, they're just wheat stacks, paintings on a wall, yes, but from this perspective, watch how everything ends, and a beat, and all begins again. Pablo Picasso, the old guitarist, 1903-04. Oil on panel. He no longer plays the notes, no longer sings the words. There never were notes or words. There was springtime. Yes, and children too. There was the ocean spray that warps and defines the instrument, but it really played nothing. He remembers. Oh yes, this is how it really was. Perhaps one fellow did really play the music in all those years. Perhaps. A gypsy. Scum. But the night he charmed her. Fires, dreams. A roasted pig. Yes, well, perhaps. So that was music. Really music. The night never really burned like that before or since. Crosses and cunts. Piety of priests and senators crafting sewage from platitude and revolver. To play one true note. To refuse the coin. To reach beneath this life's nightly bed of rubble and come up with a handful of sunshine, just once. Georgia O'Keeffe, Red Hills with Flowers, Oil on Canvas, 1937. What burns in you is beauty. Beauty burns in all creation. Here you are, first and last flower of the world. There you'll go, joining other dreamers in those hills. There you'll be, now fully a dream, beyond knowing's fruitless toil. 20. Edward Hopper, Nighthawks, 1942, Oil on Canvas. All alone, all suffering. Yes. Coffee in a diner forum, gleaming urns. Dull eyes. Outside, not a yell nor a mumble. Open the door, Betty. Don't wait for your date. He likes gloom. Don't wait for that lone man who eyed the folds of your red dress and nodded. Betty, don't wait for the patron either. He prefers closed doors. Would cover the windows and extinguish the lights if he could. If it mattered. Perhaps this is your fate, your mission, the meaning you need. 'You care, Betty. You care beyond good and bad, beyond safety, beyond love, beyond the words and the glances, and these dour souls here. Make a break for it, Betty. Smile. Mention the powder room. Smile at them all, and in the vacuum, a few moments, do something to that door. Do something. A brick, a garbage can. Do what you've wanted to do all of your life. Stop waking up wondering who and why. Hurry now. A cigarette and a cup of coffee make a short watch to go by. Hurry. Yes. Do it. Leave your purse. It will be their clue that you aren't ever coming back. 21. Jackson Pollock. Grade Rainbow. Oil on Canvas, 1953. There is no answer. There is sadness and morning light. There is the need to mount, to have. There is need to receive, to contain. There is no meaning. Morning light accumulates until it no longer exists. 22. Gerhard Richter, Ice, number 1 through 4, 1989, Oil on Canvas. 22, part 1. Deep in the world's woods, on the morning of the day when the world ended, a soft sound, flesh, breathing, other noises followed, then stillness again, the woods slept. 23. Part 2. Deep in the world's waters, toward noon of the day when the world ended, no belief, as ever, in sky and land, sphere of light, perhaps of change, too. Nothing is named or divided. 24, part 3. High above the world at dusk of the day when the world ended, shimmer and cloud, the silence of paradise, of perfect undulation. Down in the heart of the world, near midnight of the day when the world ended, all was well, all was calm, change, decay, growth, illusion, beauty, the pyre was ready, tonight's ending will be spectacular. 26. A thing, not a word, not thing. The universe hardens with a burning ambivalence. Music, power, fecundity. Time annihilates light, annihilates mystery, annihilates that which strays too rhythmically. Till buried in flesh and words. Flesh and words. There is no answer. Here she remains immaculate and young, cutting air with blood. There is no answer. Find the trees. Nuzzle the wind. Learn how to accept, how to nod, disappear along the path home. 27. The fury of existence, happiness no limits, night once again, night always, a pair of shoulders, better to be part of flesh's twisting musics than thought. Thought is for aspiring species. True manifestation for cogitating angels comes in reunion with bloody-backed fury. Daily ignored the howling bookends of existence in favor of the mortal hustle. Merge your blood and hers and the earth's. Merge them anew in a depthless agony. Learn. Learn what she knows alone at moments when from her cunt squirms eyes, a face. 28. I listen tonight for one true note. I hear everywhere coins clatter, asses dropping into wooden seats. My train ride was beam. I know nothing now because I distrust knowledge. All is 29, part 1. Maybe in a moment revelation, maybe after that extinction, maybe twisted with this moment here, maybe first everything and nothing is clear. Or the kind of yes that quickly buds doubts, or the kind of no that winks and dances past midnight. What will the gathered faces tell you? Several things you need not know? What will the music be when you finally sucked the flame? What will you become when you finally shed your bed and name? 2. Tonight could be the night of revelation and extinction. Don't ask the trees. Don't flood the fields. Become the music again. It will bring you home. It will burn you down. Something soft too. Something soft here lacks. Tonight could be the night when what reveals, what distinguishes, partners, mates, makers of the new coming. 3. Extinction, revelation, the way the morning light careens off hidden pond, the way the night urges the soul to play or charge. Extinction and revelation. The turnpike's truths gull more every day with solutions of plastic, proclaimed by prophets of wood. Somewhere tonight love is freezing into habit. Elsewhere tonight love is melting. Laws over and gone. One lifetime nearly concluded, wheezing onto the bus, a metal walker, seat warning ahead to the final bed in the coffin. 4. I've been waiting to love you all my life, but now the mirror urges me to cease doubting. Tonight I am traveling to you, I know that. Revelation, extinction, water for the hopeless. Will you still be Cherry when I get there? Will I? Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on a night heavy with revelation and extinction. Full moon flirty shows one buttock tonight. If I don't find you soon, there'll be a new wisdom. Will be time for me to school in. 5. Revelation and extinction are just fancy words. Pretties for the brain. Cigarettes. chewing gum. Watching her dance that night opened nearly every door. A rainbow the other day, its blank belly filled with bolts. What more? What else? This world is fat with miracles and woe. Fat with fire, with pain, with chocolate, with mace, with crowds around a water bowl, with solitary lords rich with echoes and bottled time. Revelation, extinction, how the blood is readying to come wildly. 6. The freaks will never own the world. They preach of another deeper. Proclaim how things shall be when they dance, when they smoke, when they board the crowded midnight bus, smiling, friends to all, friends to any. The freaks know how revelation and extinction. The freaks know revelation and extinction. Cherry tomatoes in a window garden, a pocket full of photos from the mountain festival, stories of ghosts known and remembered, songs for you tonight. It will never, ever be here again. The freaks will never own the world because they find extinction too funny and revelation too obvious. You can't sell a freak the city and its scripture. You can't scare a freak with threats of denial. The freaks will never own the world because they keep running away shouting, what world? Which one? Make the alignment hold, cease, release, stop seeking to know. What have I forgot? What is blurred? Laughter ever floats, ever renews. What will come of this confusion, this frenzy? A full moon, dancing shadows, fire all night. I have no guesses left. I feel old. Nothing is what it seems. Stay still. Let the fuck go. When will come the splendor, present curves, stop, no more, the trees will not blink. Today, tomorrow, silence, music, mystery, the rainbow's blank belly full of bolts, miracle at a train station last Thursday night. Thereafter, straggles on, sometimes ecstatic. Pause. 32. He is the man who walks around and asks why. I follow him these days. Perfection is a come-hither horror, he says. A mirror image, really. A shadow. Best pursue the combined clan of doubts, remorse, fear. Part companions, too. Part wardens of hope. I met him after a night of dreaming in which I remembered again I can fly. I was sleeping in the trees near Carnival in the field by the town which had burned the afternoon before the carnival had arrived. He was sitting, spine perfectly straight, against an oak, eyeing me queerly as I slept in my sleeping bag outside my tent, within which my bag of notebooks and suitcase of barter books resided dryly, dearly, like children. I used to make butterflies, he said, eager and flitty, but that was when another kind of world was more in evidence, when some things were easier, when some of us were learning how to arrive home. We didn't begin to travel together right away. I didn't know what he could do for me. I was in no state to truly help anyone else. Thirty-three. The moon has confessed its full beauty tonight, I think. All his family at the concert tripping. All his beauty, too, I remember. Like last night's dream, remembering I can easily fly. Full moon manifestation, all his family, all his beauty. In tonight's dream, he will remember how to fly. Pause. You don't truly embrace what means most to you, he said, making butterflies leap from the midnight flames. No, he continued, you sit in a dark room watching every night's pink and gold sunset through an imagined window. And he walked into the woods for a time, leaving me to suckle off these thoughts, their pleasure, their pain. I want to write a book called Why, I explained again to his absence. I think it may help. I'm nearly ready to begin. Somewhere she sits on a hillside of pink petals. She is healing an old man who's recovered his sight and has discovered himself alone in the world. I'm not ready to watch her engage touch to touch. I can only listen. The breath of concentration, the whistly whisper of love. Heal me too, I want to say to her, but cannot. We are strangers save in dreams. The hillside's pink petals are where she urges the old man to begin. This is family, right here, she explains. The old man listens more than looks. Still, 'tis his habit. He smells the scent of her long hike. He's pleased that young girls still smell like beauty and power. Her words rest in his ear, oral light, memory, regret, joy. Heal me too, I want to say to her, but cannot. Vision rises. Colors and bells, dreams become part tree, part flame-flecked stream. Dreams and we know each other, and I call her wife and sister and mother and mate, enemy and teacher. She calls me similar names and laughs and plows through my skin. A funky bitch, a carnal friend, lover made of blood and mud, teacher with teeth, mother with hunger, sister with glee, enemy till the spasm, mate in joy and grief. All his family, she tells the old man, and he nods, weary with all of these colors and dimensions. Heal me too, she wants to say to me, but cannot. Saturday, July 22nd, 2000. 1 p.m. Newman Road. I'm sitting in my chair. I only have one chair these days. Sometimes it's at my desk and sometimes it's at the cynical table. So I'm in my chair. I've been sick. I was out two days from work. I'm not fully recovered yet, but I have clean clothes on, and I want to go out. I want to go out, and I haven't been out since Wednesday night, and here it is Saturday afternoon. So it's been almost 3 days, and I think it's sunny out, and it's probably nice, but I want to finish reading a poetry sequence that I read 35 poems of into my computer, into this machine, and I want to read the 36th poem because that's the last poem. I started writing it on the bus heading toward Boston, which would have been Sunday, I guess it would have been Sunday night into Monday. And then I finished it a day later. So, the sequence is now called 36 Nocturnes. I'm going to pause for a moment to see how much tape I have left on the side. Okay, should be cool. Here goes. 36. Tonight I will disappear along the path home, evaporate finally, leaving my bones and body to continue what I choose not to abide no more. Tonight goodbye to breasts and bellies, to want and strain, to cowardice, to lawlessness, to hollow coins, to repression, to the best of it all, to futility. What remains? A holy emptiness, the persistence of mold, still hungering for a crevice of treasure, a secret burning city, an invisible forest, happy fleshlessness. I have only these words to summon you. Panic, jettison, whirlpool, modulation, pain, silence, cessation. I dream of flying, I dream of you. I do not wish to disappear just yet. He laughs and says, regard your own hand, boy. Can you claim even to understand its magic? Do you understand anything at all? No, I understand nothing. Nothing at all. I flow and stagger blindly. Somewhere you writhe and wriggle, writhe and wiggle too. Somewhere your secret language hints at my name. You ponder symbols that somewhat resemble me. I cannot disappear along the path home tonight. I cannot yet disavow you. He laughs again. Believe in everything still, for no damned good reason. Faith, children and lunatics, one or two preachers, artists who limp and bleed and flail but fight on. Yes, boy, fine. You've known none like me. I'll be your first and last. We know each other already in dreams and silence. Something already between us. Not yet word, nor yet shine, yet beyond shadow, no longer blue fancy. Something from somewhere, wreckage of a dream, a remaining bliss, a residua, word made flesh, made word made flesh, a ring of echoes round the universe, a glance that began 1,000 centuries ago, mirrors of fire before time began to contrive its noose, an unfound door in an unnoticed wood by which the bus careens before its crash, every day, forever. Thoughts of the last kiss, the next dollar, a floating passage spent with a book called Why. How often have I disappeared along the path home? Who arrives in my place? Who will you meet when your equation rolls me into your life? How will he be at loving you? Will he midnights when sweat and bloody back conversation think even then about evaporating? Will you hold him tight with teeth till he yells? Will you and he, known as we, claw in some dawns, become useless with words, finally settle to prayer with preacher sunrise and the butterfly overlord flaming harmony chorale? Butter pecan ice cream, bourbon with shots of LSD. He says grimly, you've got a mind like a bag full of penny candy, son. Go ahead, give her bouquets of ecstasy and annihilation. See how long she stays. There's more. Oh, a terrible amount more. I've chosen to survive along the path home, and this means trouble, for I have my demands. I have something to offer. I'm going to keep offering until someone accepts. Words, wounds, laughter, lawlessness, fingers that know how to rile and flow, tongue bearing a tray of dangers, skin with seething pores. Warm breath flows over me from a universe strange, growling, curious, a riddle curled in sleep. Will our love reveal the something that will not desist? Will I lay at last calmly, not just with you, but among the forever legion of your sisters, our sisters, more than sated, more than empty, trusting again as once in the breast and the belly, the gleam, undulation, yes, the undulation I have painfully witnessed in each of you diminishing from me across the ridiculous babble of my years, trusting again that the milk is true, the sweat honest, the moan numberless, the thought instinctive with laugh and memory. What more can I demand of thee, young love? How can I be of more annihilating service to thee? Can mere fucking ever be this fun? To play one true note, to nail you among the dense strews of a dryly rotting haystack called reality, to demand your answers bear a few words along with the usual flecks and touches, to play one true note and watch you dance, cyclone, fury, a mind, several, many, all, watch you devour air, watch you near me where I lie, prone and stiff, take me without softness, without regret, without emotion. The animal in you has etched your cheeks in pig's blood. What you do to me is about existence itself, the pain involved, crude and effective. The tightening sun above quickens your grind. You've gone now beyond female, beyond wife and sister and mother and nurturer and whore. There is no pretty purpose left in you, no morality tattooed on your breasts from the many centuries as chalice and property. Preying on me you feed, sating me of weariness, and seed you pray neither vanity nor shame as truth releases your blood, seeking finally to remove the I from here and hereafter, neither I, nor we, nor he, nor she. At last an ending that all may become possible again, the teaching grid visible again in every growl and vine, all above the glowing dotted roof of the cosmos and possibly high, the floor down unseen below, creatures again, nameless and divine and native to this mystery and miracle, walking, hunting creatures, dreaming by daylight, unable to distinguish a branch from a kiss, a memory from a claw, a word from a deed, all the lands and waters alive with these creatures, neither risen nor fallen, but floating, wiggling, saucy with moonkin, ferocious to learn from weed gurus. Tonight, my love, and thus I approach you, each word scrawled on a dry leaf of mud, the madness of magic of anguish and anticipation. How I approach you, by flare, by crackle, by wretch. Tonight, my love, approaching you, shredding sinews and blue fancies. My music denses and readies. All right. Alright, that was pretty good, I think.
Samuel X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuif Commander Q.
This year. Oh, oh, oh. garden walls. And the stars begin to twinkle in the night. In the midst of a memory. Breathe in my name with a sigh.
With a sigh, yeah, yeah.
In the still of the night, once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams.
Voice journal. Pardon. Voice journal, volume 249. It is Monday, February 14th, 2022 at 4:58 p.m. Bungalow C, attic, study, work table, Milk Rose, Massachusetts. The last volume, which just finished, I don't know, about a half hour ago, kind of finished in mid-sentence, but that's okay. Sometimes they do. I come up here, and I put on my jackets and hat and blanket, and I read my chapter of Fantasties by George MacDonald, and I put on for toward the radio this weekend on Tabby an album called Side-Eye. It looks like Side-Eye Volume 1-4, New York City. Side-Eye New York, Side-Eye NYC, by Pat Metheny. Pretty good, enjoying it, seems to be a live show. I've got my attic radio on right now, on the Dreamland radio station, jazz station, and no music's coming out. So, I am constantly, or often, worrying about this radio station. Every time I put it on, I always wonder, is it going to be on? Is it not going to be on? Radio works. The AM band works fine. And the station, like the dial that shows the stations, the station dial, it is a purple color around its perimeter, meaning it's tuned into something, but what it's tuned in right now is silence. Hence Pat Metheny sooner than I was planning, but alright. So, anyway, what's funny about all this Voice Journal 1 and 2 and 36X and all is that it's not very well coordinated at that point, at this point. I mean, I'm not sure if I even want to do that. It might be more fun to not do that. One of the things I wanted to do with 36X is not do too much work. Like, I wanted it to be tapes that existed, that I digitized, added some songs, and called it a show. And I've done something more than that sometimes. Sometimes not. The one that is in rough draft form for this coming weekend is, as I was saying in the past volume, it finishes up my Chicago June 2000 walk to my hostel. also being on the train out there, the CTA. And then it goes right into the first revived volume of this Voice Journal Classic version of this project. And it's 90 minutes of that. And I think there's maybe 5 or 10 minutes left over of 2 hours, so I just put the markings on the file, the various pieces, which are dated talkings, and take a screenshot for the playlist, and it's done. And that's fine. Oh, I have to add some songs, and I have to add the sound collage from my Within show from Saturday. That is the first piece that starts. Like, how it works is that Within's Within broadcasts on a given Saturday, and then the following week's Commander Q begins with the sound collage that ended that Within's Within. So they connect from weekend to weekend, which is my kind of fun, I suppose. Anyway, that all said, I went right back then. I just wanted to get this volume just slightly underway, but I don't really have anything useful to say. This Pat Metheny album is really good, so that, I suppose, is something worth saying. And it's going to be in Jazz Cafe this coming weekend. Pat Metheny, Side Eye, NYC, Volume 1, Number 4. I heard, I don't know, maybe a third of it so far, and it's really, really good. Okay, more. All right, it's Tuesday, February 15th, 2022, at about 4:35 p.m. Walking along Derby Road, Milford, Massachusetts. It's my after-work walk. This morning, after an early morning phone call with my boss, I was convinced to sign my acceptance letter from Ginkgo. The pay rate and base salary is not quite as high as I'm making now there through contract, but there's financial incentives like stock stuff and 401k matching and benefits and unlimited PTO, other stuff that kind of makes up for those things. And I think the stock stuff is probably more impressive than I would really currently understand. So after talking to Bruce, my boss, and also to a colleague, Joel, I just decided it was time to do it. It was time to make the commitment. And honestly, to be full-time and to be well-known, having earned that full-time, well-regarded, I mean, just like arriving to something that's not an investment in someone that, you know, I just met them, they just met us, me, and we're going to go into it with the best of intentions and see how it goes, but you see, no, it's been near a year and a half of all of this, and my quantity is known. It's quite well known, and their quantity is known to each other. So there's not a there's not anything about this that doesn't indicate it's a good choice on all sides. And in fact, I don't have to think about the next end of contract date here on is really exciting. It's It's unbelievable. I mean, I just feel so grateful and happy, and I want to make sure that I earn it every day, because it's not something that was easy to obtain, and it's not something everybody has, and it's something really to feel good about, really to feel proud of. Proud of having arrived, and so yeah, that is that was sort of the big news of the day, and then it was filled with lots of work essentially, other than that. But that's good. I think that the other thing about the stock stuff is that I don't understand fully, but apparently to keep outside investors from getting too big an interest in the company and dictating its direction, employees, when they get their stocks, they're valued, their votes for things are like 10 times for each stock held, so you get 10 votes for every stock you have. So the idea is to not let outside influences come in and buy up a bunch of interest in the company, and then do everything they did to PHT, everything they did, you know, in terms of like buying up, changing, merging, cutting the workforce, changing stuff, changing up the leadership, you know, gutting the thing and then and leaving it a shell. And that's, you know, that's what I saw happen there. I was part of that. I don't want to be part of it again. I like being, in a sense, an employee owner. You know, that's good. That matters. That means that when your shareholders are in part your employees, then they're more important than they, you know, already are. They're even more important. So that's good. So that, you know, was waiting, and it's been like a protracted waiting over the course of a very long time. But I think the most official and final of the documents are now signed and in the books. The starting date, all that, it's all part of the deal now. So hooray, man, hooray. It, like, the funny thing is it gets so nerve-wracking when it comes to like the money and all this other kind of stuff, that like the just the pure pleasure of I like what I do for a living, and I want to keep doing it, and I don't want to have to go back to job hunting, which is a horrible thing to do. And now, you know, I've managed to earn my way beyond the, you know, the contracting way of living, which some like, and I guess some don't, and I am happy to be done with. I don't like the uncertainty of it, and it doesn't make me do better work. It doesn't make me feel better. I've been able to handle it, but it's just not something that, it's not like there's all these benefits to it that make it something I would do by choice. And I've got 2 more weeks of it. And, you know, if I can stay Ginkgo for the next endless number of years, I won't even count the number, but just endless number of years, then I will gladly do so. And if, they're one of the companies that helps, like, figure out a way for people to be immortal, and, you know, I'll work for them for hundreds of years, you know. I think it's a good thing. side one of this tape is going to run out any moment now, so you work out. And finish up that 36X episode with some of this new voice journal material in it. That was funny. I actually put that together fully. It goes from 2000 to 2022, following an ID. I like that. Got a lot of, radio to hear, but I definitely, getting that done was a slick thing. It may be one of those weeks where I just decide that, I may have some shows that are on three times instead of two, and just kind of do it that way. And I feel like I really just want to... I've been trying to get my shit together. And I just want to, like, have it together. You know, I don't see an argument for the other end of things. I just don't. I don't see anything that really says to me that not having my shit together is actually the way to go. I just don't see an argument for the other side. It's hard sometimes because it's a long work week and it can be stressful at times. But it can be good too. And it can be good just knowing the money's coming. That's all. On and on. Still super snowy out. There's still patches of ice on the sidewalks. Definitely still winter, though. I hear tell that it's going to be in the 50s in the next couple days soon. So that's interesting. Tonight I'm going to work more on Bags and News, I think. And that'll be good. Just a matter of figuring out I think that the way it works, and I've thought this for a long time, is you have at it every day and it adds up over time. It adds up in attitude and in accomplishment. They're both important. Funny, I thought someone in this tape was running out any second, and it turns out it's not. It's definitely, like, pushful thing. I got some Running Man news to share. I was getting stalled, but I'm now, I think, unstalling. I think I have a path forward. I discovered a couple of things. One is that the Burner Express, Burning Man organization sponsored bus from Reno, Nevada, and possibly from Seattle and Portland and San Francisco, for all I know, runs to Burning Man. It's like the Green Tour, just only it's not an outside organization. Maybe that's good. At least they think so, I'm sure. They also have a camp at Black Rock City that is associated with the bus. And anyone can camp there who is on the bus. So that's really good. And they also have an associated couple of large water tanks. So that's like the water thing. And transportation and where to stay there. And Cassie's convinced that between the two of us, we can bring all the food we would need in our two very large knapsacks, like shoulder harnessed backpacks. And then obviously fly there by plane from Boston to Reno or Boston to wherever we would get the bus to Burning Man. So that seems very encouraging, and it's a way to sort of sand down the edges of uncertainties. I still don't know what is going on with Center Camp. And of course, tickets haven't gone on sale, so there's kind of like, on the nearest end is tickets, because the tickets can't go, and on the farthest end is showing up with our books at the Center Camp Cafe and having some kind of permission to be there. I'm not sure how much permission is needed, but you know, it's been 13 years, and I don't want to assume too much laxness. I'd rather just get on the board and have a space and then be good. You know, and I think the point of all this is to find ways to do it as simple as possible. Simple as possible. Find ways to make it so that we are going with everything we can think of, every aspect of things thought through. And, you know, once we're there, if we've done that, then you know, the event, city, all that, it'll take care of itself. I mean, because we know about water, we know about rest, we know about being careful in many kinds of ways, shapes, and forms. But the planning for it has got to be tight as a drum. Especially because from the other side of the continent, and having not done it in 13 years, you know, it's an extra special challenge to essentially ride back at the newest iteration of something that we both went to many times. This will be my 12th burn when all goes well, and it'll be Cassie's sixth, no, seventh. So. Not new in that sense, but, you know, new in terms of logistics, and also, you know, how it's changed over the course of the years in different ways. Hello. So, I'm making a point of trying to get as much together as possible. As early as possible. I'm starting to think, though, that I'm lingering on undone books a bit, and I think probably part of that lingering was getting a cynical done, but by goodness, it's done. It was done as of Sunday night. There's no more due on it, and it just seems to me like I need to get a little more aggressive on my publishing plan for this year. I mean, six new Burning Man books, Samplers, Tentacles, Ray books. You know, these are all things that it's like that's another whole world of this, and I haven't sufficiently, it's not ready, though it's not the beginning, but it's not done. I mean, it'll be done when I have six completed manuscripts and it's time to print, and it'll be really done when they're printed. So, I got that thinking. Going, and that's something is starting to come to the forefront, as writing is, after all the efforts on Sanicle to get it made, to get it done, to get it written for. Emerging from that time was the Great Grand Braided Narrative, Gregor Bertrand, friendly. I just have to get sharper and sharper doing this all. And that's how it is. That's how it's got to be. And that's good. So getting this job in place, not having to worry about come August whether I'll be employed, you know, whether I'll be jobless until the day before Burning Man, then have to tell a new employer, oh, I can't come in because I'm going to be away for a week and spend a whole bunch of money that I might not want to spend being unemployed, you know, all that kind of thing. That core thing, that core fact, just became so a few hours ago. And if I want to think about, like, where's the core, where's the foundation of this all, it's probably a multi-layered foundation with many parts to it, but man, one core part of the foundation is that it costs a lot of money to go, and it's expenditure of time to go. So, the fact that I now officially have a full-time job, that's foundational. Good. Thank you all, spirits, universe, everybody. More later. All right.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36
Purple dreams.
purple falls, over sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to twinkle in the sky. In the mist of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a sigh. Still of the night, once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams.
And as long as my heart will beat, sweet lovers will always be here in my deep purple dreams. And as long heart will be, sweet lovers will always meet, here in my deep purple dreams, here in my deep purple dreams, here in my deep purple
dreams. Okay, it is Wednesday, February 16th, 2022, at about 4:15 p.m., walking along Derby Road, Belcourse, Massachusetts, and I guess after all the kerfuffle of new job signing, settled down to the actual job, which hasn't changed an iota, which is good. It was a busy day. It was somewhat involved around preparing for the results of a mock audit that suddenly happened last week. And so I met with a few people, and including the disaster recovery, business continuity, whatever, people, information security, and we had a pretty amiable conversation, and we figured some things out, and that was all good. Previous to that, I'd spent a long stretch with my colleague Matt, sort of getting ready for that to occur, and he's a combustible one, to put it nicely. He kind of just seems to specialize more than anything else in nervous breakdowns on the spot. And I doubt this is something that Ginkgo invented in him. And it probably will be something that's true of him long after he's gone on elsewhere, whenever that might be, sooner or later. But it all worked out. And preparing for the radio this coming weekend, in which my show is going to be recorded on Friday night for Saturday broadcast, a rare pre-recording. I was listening for the Conspiracy Theory Radio show, an interview with Graham Hancock about ancient alien technology. Pretty interesting, about how one even goes about finding evidence of it. One of the things he said is that the challenging thing about finding evidence of aliens, not just aliens themselves, but like evidence of them from other times, is that they are not necessarily the same as human beings. So what would be evidence of them would be not necessarily be evidence of like ancient humans. The evidence of them might be something entirely different, them being entirely different beings and leaving behind entirely different kinds of evidence, which is kind of interesting. Also, we start discussing some widely dispersed, but a green kind of mythologies about death and stuff that happens after death and various mythologies and various places that are far flung from each other that seem to carry common traits. And that kind of got me to thinking about the Tiamat mythopoeia and I've touched on the origins of how things began on the primary planet of note, the Earth-like planet where the action mostly takes place. And I've sort of here and there discussed Amandia, which is the place that the Earth-like place derives much of its, at least, humanoid life. And then I've also gone into the far-flung history, or possible history, of that Earth-like place. This kind of began early on when I was working it out. I worked it out, and I was sort of working it out with the idea of a climate collapse and how the response to climate collapse is that different kinds of expertise finally get together and marshal their resources to essentially decide that time travel through dreaming is the way to go back and fix things. And I don't think I really necessarily went any further into it. I mean, I've kind of gone to the great tree at the heart of the world and talked about unity of times in the world, which was essentially before the Amandian diaspora came, the part of it came to that world. I don't think I'm really feeling obligated to urgently explain any of this stuff. The explanation seemed to emerge over time. They seem to come out at different moments, and I understand a thing in greater detail than I did previously. But nothing seems to come out in a chronological way. And thus things need to be fit together because there's naturally gaps and possibly inconsistencies that kind of become part and parcel of things. So that's what that got me thinking about. I have more of that interview to listen to. I also have the acid dreams section for this time to listen to, and the final episode of the Prisoner Radio Show, which has been fun to listen to. And it's always challenging when I'm trying to listen to these spoken word things when I'm on my own time, because I would much rather have music on that I don't have to listen to closely, so I can just focus on writing and not be distracted by trying to comprehend words being spoken either regularly or in musical form. On the other hand, if I want to do my show on Friday night, which I do, and taking into account that tomorrow Cassie and I both have dermatologist appointments for the first time for either one of us, convinced by our shared Dr. Orski in Boston, time just slips away. I also haven't edited my show from last weekend. So, it's like I gotta keep pushing to do better. And if I can get the radio done before my show and then get my show done successfully on Friday night, then on Saturday morning, I just get the radio going and I don't have to actually do any work on it. It makes the long weekend that is coming along then all the more better. because it needs to be 3 full days of not working on radio. And so that promises more writing time. I think that transitioning to that, I was writing Bags In last night, slowed because I was trying to listen to something for radio. But I'm just feeling like I'm feeling one of, I've reached one of those critical places in this where in this great grand braided narrative, for friendly. I've reached one of those points where I feel the momentum which rises and flags. I feel it flagging. And so it's aggravating. That's the right word, I was just distracted. It's nudging at me to get going better on this. And so I need to do that. I pushed myself to get out the door a little more promptly today so I can get up to the attic a little quicker and so I can get into this all a little faster. I did manage to get the first of the remaining 9 bags in issues almost done. So that was good. And I've gotten it up to the point where it crosses with the creature tail, which is good. But I guess when I really think about it, I can't, as much as I can look at things from the eagle-eyed view of the 6 narratives going on, that has to be the minority of time I spend on it. I mean, like, I have to be down on the details with each one and really focused and consistently pushing them along for the sharpness that the devotion to them brings. I mean, if I keep jumping from one to the next, there's really no momentum, and I can't write 6 at once, even though, you know, only 3 of them are written in the usual way. Dream Raps being developed on the radio. By a dream journal and radio show. Hero's Adventure is going to be the last of the 6. Third part of it is going to be the last of the 6. We're down there along that way. And the Creature Tales every night, so I'm doing okay with that, but the three written pieces are Labyrinth Theme started up again, Bags In needs to start up again, Mini Music does not start up again. And what I need is, since it's still winter and cold and we're still stuck at home waiting this pandemic to simmer down enough to be safe going out, what I need is I need a long stretch in the attic. I need to have all my notebooks there, and I need to just have whatever music going, and I need to just I need to just lock and load. And I think that that will be enormously helpful. That will be enormously helpful to do that. That is what my plan is for all this pushing toward. And there may come a point where all of them are actually going at once, which has not gotten to that point yet. I haven't quite figured out DreamWraps yet, because the ones directly related to DreamWalkers spill over into this year, and the DreamWraps for Volume 11, in the April Cenacle, they stop at December. That's how they always have done. I'm not saying it's necessarily necessary to do that, but that's just not figured out, not finalized. I'm not sure how to get that figured out. Nothing new in the Burning Moon front, except I briefly looked at my list, and it's like I've really got to just start to finalize content. The tickets are not on sale yet, not March, and I can't really do anything with the Burning Moon bus until Express, until it actually is activated. I find out how Overland is, so it's local camp with water. But what I really should be doing right now is thinking about the books. So I don't feel this week I've gotten as much done as I'd like to, so it would be a good thing to keep pushing harder. Also at the Burning Moon books, I did make a table of, I made a list of books probably coming to 2022, Cenacles, Samplers, Ray books. Cenacles, Samplers, Ray books, and Samplers, Ray books. Oh, Burning Moon books, haha. And one thing I was thinking about was reading through all these publications and doing revisions on them, if need be, like spelling errors, stuff like that, leaving them pretty much as is, but just a little bit where there's like obvious problems, maybe consider tweaking them to make them a little better. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that in New Britain, which is going to be the first weekend in March. Maybe I'll bring Burning Man books, I'll bring samplers, you know, I'll bring Cenacle work, I'll bring writing, radio. I mean, my whole thing down there is going to be several days of work, like, without distraction, without. Just by myself with my notebooks and Polly, that will be that. I guess I have to do something about Gumby, since I guess his 3G network being shut down March 1st, which means I won't be able to use him to call after that, so I'll have to do something about that. Not anything I want to do. I don't really want a new phone. I don't want anything that it's just complicated. I just don't want anything. I don't want a new phone. I don't want the complications of a new phone. I like Gumby. I've had Gumby for many years, for a couple of iterations. No reason to want to change, but I'm being forced to. Hey. Anyway, I think that's it for now. It's a long work week. And my guess is tomorrow I'll be recording this because I'll be at the dermatologist's office. Maybe we'll walk there and walk back, and that will be plenty of steps, and that will be a different way to go about getting steps, which is part of how this whole thing started, and part of it was wanting to do the voice journal classic version again. So that will be a different way of getting steps, and I'm just going to keep thinking about all of this stuff, and I'll try to be coherent, lucid, and detailed as I'm able along the way.
When the deep purple falls over sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to flicker in the sky, through the mist of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a sigh. In the still of the night, once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams. And as long as my heart shall beat, lover will always be here in my deep purple dream. As long as my heart shall be, lover will always be here in my deep purple dream. Oh, 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 oh.
X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Yes, we are free. though you're gone, your love lives on when moon.